Hello and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show. Another week of the NFL is in the books. I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Christian Catanacci. As always, Cat, what's going on?
I've had better days, Pac. I've had better days. You know, we'll get into it later, but the Cowboys lost mixed with I had to go to the dentist today. You know, I don't like going to the dentist, so it was already not a good day. You know, wake up this morning off a loss, and then this afternoon I got over to the dentist. Just an overall bad day. But you know, we're sitting here now. I'm in a better mood. I'll be in even better mood if the Philadelphia Eagles lose tonight. But we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, it's looking pretty good for the Eagles right now. You said you've had better days. I think this is my best day because the Dolphins scored 70 points yesterday. I was at the game. I didn't have to go to the dentist today. So when you couple all those things together, it's like, wow, what a weekend for me. Literally once in a lifetime game moment. That was my fourth ever game at Hard Rock or Sun Life Stadium, whatever it was called, in the time I've been a Dolphins fan. And I think the previous three, if you added up all the points combined that the Dolphins had scored, that total didn't eclipse 70 points. So to see them in person score 70 points, 7-0. I never thought I would see that in my life as a Dolphins fan. To see that, it was honestly amazing. Like I was sitting there. I just couldn't believe what was unfolding in front of me. Truly, truly, like I said, once in a lifetime stuff. So pretty polar opposite moods for the two of us today, but we're still going to try and have a good show for everyone. But yeah, 70 points. I can't get over it. 70 points.
How about those Dolphins, Pac? And what makes matters even better is that you were there watching that live. I mean, mind you, I had red zone on. I was flipping between a couple of games, and it started off, what, like 35-0, something like that? Or 35?
No, it was actually, at one point, we went for a fourth down in our own end, like at our own like 25-30-yard line, and they stopped us. And if they had scored, I think that would have made it 21-17. So it was 21-10. Oh, they ended up starting at the 35, and they ended up not even getting a field goal.
Yeah, because they turned the ball over. Yeah.
And then they had to punt.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yes. I do remember that now.
Literally everything that could have possibly gone wrong for the Broncos, they had a couple big plays that turned into fumbles. They had like just a complete disaster of a football game, and all the memes about McDaniel being the ball boy and what Sean Payton said about Tua a year ago, it was just the perfect opponent to do it against.
It was. And honestly, I can't remember a game where there was so many points scored and it felt like every single time you checked it, there was just more and more. It almost felt, and it was so one-sided at the same time, right? That's what even made it crazier. Like, it almost felt like, to an extent, like the game a couple years back, it was, I think, Goff and Mahomes.
It was like 54-51,
something like that. But like it felt like that, where there was like constant scoring, except in this case, it was just one team, right? So, I mean, man, the Broncos now, too. Like, you're sitting at 0-3. You bring in Sean Payton, and you're expecting him to give this jolt and to a team that just played so subpar to what they were expected to be last year. And it's just been nothing like that so far. And it's almost like what a Dolphins fan is feeling right now, like on top of the world. Dolphins might be the best team in the league right now. And then you got the complete opposite end of the spectrum in the Denver Broncos, who I don't know if anybody saw coming. I thought a lot of, like, it felt like they were going to have a bounce back year. And I think that was probably like 90%. Of the public's opinion. You know what I mean? You have Sean Payton come in and year two Russell Wilson, and it's just been a complete disaster.
Yeah, I know you had them going to the playoffs.
I did.
10-7.
I did.
I wasn't as high on them. I thought that they would be very competitive, though. But the weirdest part is I think Russell Wilson has actually been, dare I say, pretty good through 3 weeks. Like, he hasn't been horrible. It's been the defense that has been an absolute disaster. And I also don't think Sean Payton has helped at all with the play calls on offense. I found them very conservative yesterday. Just, it seems like everyone is on a different page there. And for Sean Payton, all that talk in the offseason about how this was the worst coach team ever, the worst coaching job in NFL history, and how things are going to be different. Well, let me tell you, things are different. You're worse. You're worse through 3 weeks. Last year, you know they were 2-1 last year through 3 weeks?
I know.
They were 2-1. I know those two wins were incredibly unconvincing. I think they scored 13 points against the Texans and then maybe 11 or 12 points in a very rare win over the 49ers where Jimmy G pulled a Dan Orlovsky and ran out of the back of his own end zone. So it's very weird. Yes, there's still a ton of time to turn it around. I looked at their schedule, and I do see a ton of winnable games down there, especially if the offense continues to move the ball like they have been. But just that is hard to recover from. Like, you talk about going back into the locker room, looking around at the other 52 guys, or if you're a player on the team, the other 52 teammates that you have or the coaches, like, what do you say? What do you say on the ride home back to Denver after surrendering 70 points? Like, literally a historically poor effort, and you're part of that. That is a very, very hard thing to just turn around from and say, like, okay, we got a game next week.
Yeah, heck, you saw it with Garrett Bowles, what he said. Like, you saw everything that he said in that post-game interview was raw, 100% true, and that is exactly how he feels. And I'm sure he's not the only person to feel that way, too. Like, this is a team that is expected. They have expectations, right? And say what you want. I know the franchise, but, like, the franchise has history, right? Like, this is not a shoe-in franchise like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, this is like a, I mean, not like, we're not talking Steelers, 49ers, Cowboys type history, but this is a team that had Elway, Peyton Manning. They've won before. And it's just the way that these last 2 years have gone, it seems so unlike the Denver Broncos as a franchise. It's honestly horrific to see. And it almost shadows a very similar yet just as equally embarrassing team in the Chicago Bears. Like, we're talking about two teams here that, I mean, the Bears are probably have, if we're talking history, they have more history than the Broncos, but still, this is two big time franchises, and I don't even know who should be more embarrassed. Like, if you were a fan, let's say you were a fan of both teams, obviously that'll never happen, but like, who would you feel embarrassed for more, the Bears or the Broncos?
That's the million-dollar question, and we'll find out next Sunday because these guys are going at it, and it is my game of the week, and that means something because the Bills and the Dolphins play each other at 1 o'clock, which is a travesty.
Yeah,
that
is
own,
a travesty.
Next week, but Bears and Broncos going down at 1 o'clock. I saw someone say on Twitter, I don't want to, you know, pawn this off like it's my own joke. I saw someone say on Twitter that they should flex this to Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. because that's how bad of a game this is. This is probably one of the worst matchups ever. If you want to talk about current form, one team's coming off a loss, 41-10. The other team's coming off a 50-point loss. Okay, so the Broncos just lost by 50. They're favorites next week. The Dolphins just won by 50. They're underdogs next week. Tell me how that makes sense. But that's where we're at in the NFL right now. The Dolphins play one of the best teams in the league in the Bills, and the Broncos play the Bears.
There's got to be a word. There's got to be a word. Like, what are we calling that game? It can't be.
It's the toilet bowl. It's
got to be. We got to come
worse.
Up with a,
it's worse.
It's worse. It is worse than the toilet bowl.
I've seen Caleb Williams bowl thrown around, which is hilarious because, like, the Broncos have a $250 million quarterback. The Bears just drafted this guy who was, I know this doesn't mean anything, it's just funny, a top 100 player in the NFL last year as voted by his peers. Honestly, and looking at both teams, I do think the Bears are worse. I do think, I'll say the Broncos have had a more embarrassing start because, you know, allowing 70 points is really, really bad, but I think the Bears are far and away the worst team. I think a coaching change could happen midway through the season with the Bears. The Broncos, like, I genuinely mean this. I don't think Russell Wilson has been that bad.
He hasn't been that bad, to be honest. Like, in his defense, I mean, last year he was much worse. But I genuinely think that the Chicago Bears are so bad that they are almost playing them out of the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. And hear me out on this. I genuinely believe
Caleb's
this.
Caleb's going to go for another year in school.
If the Chicago Bears are picking first overall, I think Caleb Williams will pass on the Chicago Bears. I think he's going to say, screw it. I'll take my NIL money, $6 million, whatever I'm going to get, and I'll just go play again, put up 60 points against Arizona State, have fun, and just re-enter the draft next year, because I think the Chicago Bears are showing that they are so incompetent. I believe that that is a possibility. And say what you want about the injury risks. I'm telling you right now, there is nothing worse. I would personally put injury risk aside. I think it's much worse than freaking going to play for the Chicago Bears and as a rookie and having nothing there. And Caleb Williams, like, next thing, the best thing that's supposed to come in the NFL since who knows what. I know they said it with Trevor Lawrence, but I genuinely think there's a chance that Caleb Williams could said, screw it, I'm going to pass on the Chicago Bears and I'm going back to college.
Like, I don't know what their game plan is. I don't know what they're doing. It looks like, the prime example to me is DJ Moore. I'm not saying they traded everything for him because they acquired him in a trade down. Regardless, you gave up the number one overall pick. The biggest selling point in that package, in my opinion, was not only, yeah, you only had to move down, you know, eight spots, but acquiring DJ Moore, a so-called star receiver to pair with a young quarterback. We've seen Tua get Tyreek and take this massive jump. Jalen Hurts get A.J. Brown, take this massive jump. Josh Allen gets Stephon Diggs, yada, yada, yada. Everyone understands the point. When you get a star receiver, young quarterbacks tend to really, really improve the next year. DJ Moore, through three games, has what, nine catches? 11? DJ Moore, through three games, has 11 receptions. That is absolutely not okay. This is a guy you should be completely building your offense around. He was the absolute ultimate prize that you brought over for your young quarterback. Why aren't you scheming him ways to get touches? I don't understand it. For Justin Fields to have 11 completions in a game where you're being blown out by 30 plus points and the defense should be playing prevent and just allowing you to get chunks. I just don't understand what they're trying to do. And Justin Fields is going to get all the blame, but I think there are so many fingers to be pointed around, and he's just sort of at the center of all this. And maybe that sounds like I'm defending him, which I don't really mean to be, because I think he's had a terrible performance as well through three games. But I don't see a way where this can get better in Chicago right now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into Justin Fields later. I don't want to touch too much on him, but
I feel like we talked about him every single week anyways.
Yeah, we have. But we want to talk about a stunner. My Dallas Cowboys suffered the largest upset since 2006 when they were favored by the Detroit Lions, which they were 13.5-point favorites. So now, again, if you haven't lived under a rock, you are well aware that the Arizona Cardinals, led by the Pastronaut, the infamous Pastronaut.
Pastronaut, yeah.
He might be him. Defeating the Dallas Cowboys, which in a stunner too. Again, say it as what it is. Stay it as what it is. It was a stunner. I don't think there was only a single person, which we said off air, there was only one person that called this upset. And it was my father, who's been a Cowboy fan for as long as I can remember. I mean, definitely as long as I can remember, because before I was born, long before I was born. So if he knows the Cowboys better than anybody, he knew it because he saw it coming. But yeah, I mean, it was a true stunner, to be honest. And there's a lot of takeaways. Obviously, it's the Dallas Cowboys. People like to talk. People like to overreact. People like to underreact. But I think, personally, my biggest takeaway from this is that, like, okay, I don't want to say the Cowboys aren't, like, I see people going, oh, the Cowboys aren't what they thought they were. Well, look, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs last year lost to the Colts in week three as well, yeah. Right? Which I happen to lose in Survivor as well, like my Dallas Cowboys this week. But, like, stuff like this happens, you know what I mean? And it's perfect example. Like, a team could overlook an opponent, and that's exactly what happened. Like, Arizona's not bad. I genuinely don't think Arizona's as bad as people wanted to make it out to be. Like, even both of us thought, like, oh, I think there was a time where we said that if the over-under was set at 0.5, we would take the under.
I was going to say, I'm ready to fill out my Jonathan Gannon apology for him. Like, he has these guys playing tough.
He does.
And, like, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Like, I'm man enough to admit it. I was wrong about the Arizona Cardinals. They're a tough team. They're playing strong defense. They got a great running game. And Jonathan Gannon has been coaching these guys up. Like, he has them playing tough out here.
Yeah.
Through three games, they've been leading at half 3 weeks in a row. They can very well be not just 2-1, 3-0. They blew a massive lead to the Giants. They blew a lead in the second half to the Commanders. And then they beat the Cowboys. And I think you're very right when you say, like, these things absolutely happen. And I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I wasn't very quick to, like, oh my gosh, Dallas are frauds. Like, I think we'll look back at this game in, like, December when Dallas and the Eagles are neck and neck in the race and be like, man, we really shouldn't have, you know, lost that one in Arizona. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, Dallas is a good team. Sure, do they have some problems that they need to work on offensively? Absolutely. Is Trayvon Diggs going out? Does that concern me? Absolutely. But, like, my main point I wanted to make was just, like, Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon, I think I said he was going to be the first coach fired, which is more of a joke. But I just got caught up in all the memes and everything, which happens. But, like, these guys are playing hard, and they're a tough out.
They are. They're definitely, like, I was stunned more about, like, my biggest takeaway, which I hate how when it's always, like, the Cowboys are involved, it's always about the Cowboys. Like, you know what I mean? It's not about the other team. And, like Arizona's, like, again, sure, you could play the shoulda, woulda, coulda. It is what it is. Nobody remembers that. They always remember what the losses say and what the wins say. But Arizona is, like, a few plays away from being 3-0. Imagine if the Arizona Cardinals were 3-0. Like, imagine we sit here, Jonathan Gannon with the guns.
We wouldn't know what to do.
We actually would not. We would be stunned. We would be puzzled. But again, look, 1-2. You're sitting at 1-2. And mind you, I don't know how much longer this is going to stand for the Cardinals, because my favorite saying ever is, this is still a tanking organization. Say what you want, they're still a tanking organization. But my favorite saying, and I think it's going to fit so well when we look back at this, let's say we're come trade deadline, we're going to look at the Arizona Cardinals, and even if they have a couple more wins by then, players don't tank. Coaches don't tank. Front offices, you bet your ass they will tank. And I'm telling you right now, this for Arizona Cardinals front office, if they see, give it 2 or 3 more weeks, if they're in these games and maybe they squeak out another win, they're going to be like, okay, we got to trade somebody and someone fast, because we can't be willing to drop 3-4 games when Chicago's sitting here at 0-9 and they're going to get the first overall pick. I'm telling you, do not be shocked. Now, is Arizona building something in the locker room? I genuinely do think so, right? We both can write our apology letters soon. Not yet.
I think it's even due for that, because I think they already tied our prediction.
Yeah, I think we had them one. We had one, and you changed that. You changed it because I had them 0-17.
I did.
I put the Cardinals. I put them at 0-17. I'm like, okay, let's do the content, and Pac say, no, we gotta give these guys one win. I'm like, okay, fine, give them a win. But yeah, like, that coach, they already tied our prediction.
I don't know. Like, another thing with all this, like, yes, respect to the Arizona Cardinals. We were wrong. The internet clowned them for no reason, because they're playing tough, and we thought they were gonna lose by 50 every week. At the same time, it's week 3. 1 year ago at this exact moment, the Denver Broncos were 2-1. The San Francisco 49ers were 1-2.
Yeah.
And the Chicago Bears, I believe, were also 2-1.
And they had beaten the 49ers.
They beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were 2-1. I'm going to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure the Bears were 2-1 as well. So lesson in all of this, and I know,
and
this
the,
is,
and the Super Bowl champions, like we mentioned, have lost to the Indianapolis Colts.
So they were 2-1 too.
Yeah.
So it's the lesson in all of this. I know now we've completely veered away from the Cowboys and the Cardinals, but it is still early. Let's wait. I always say the games don't matter until it gets cold outside. So let's all relax here. But I think main takeaway: Cardinals, well played, well done. We were wrong. Cowboys, I'm not worried. Yes, Dak didn't look great at moments. You were telling me about the red zone. You weren't impressed with the play calling.
Yeah, the play calling was, again, I don't want to, like, overreact too much, because it is 1 week. But if this continues, if McCarthy's red zone antics continue, I'm going to sort of raise the red flag a little bit, because it seemed like they were when they were chucking the ball deep, they were moving the ball easily. And then they get into the red zone and they run the ball 2 times up the gut and throw back shoulder fades and goal line fades. It just felt like inefficient play calling, and the sequencing behind it was just brutal. But like you said, it is early, but it's not too early to have another rapid fire segment, Pac. We're going to talk about report card grades for young quarterbacks. So not necessarily a rookie, but young, you know, young enough.
I think it's fitting. You're young. You're still in your learning years. You're getting report cards in school.
Yeah.
You're still being assessed. So we have a couple quarterbacks. I think If you're eligible for this segment, you have been drafted within the last 3 years. So that's the 2021 draft.
Yeah, you're still in your probation period.
Now, neither of us have Trevor Lawrence on our list, though. Even though, I mean, if we're grading him and the Jaguars at this point, probably wouldn't receive a very good grade. But I just feel like Trevor Lawrence is kind of above these other quarterbacks in the sense that he has proven he's not really under a microscope anymore. But yeah, we will get into grading some quarterbacks. Again, another little rapid fire segment. All right, I just realized when I'm about to read the first name that whole 2021 draft cutout is the biggest lie ever, because I always forget about this guy that we might as well start with now. Jordan Love was drafted in 2020, but this is kind of like his, in a way, it's his rookie season.
It is.
Though it's year four since being drafted.
Yeah.
To think that like Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Hurts were all the same draft class is kind of crazy, because he's just really getting his first real action in the NFL. Might as well start with a grade for him.
I, like, honestly, there's a handful of guys that have impressed me a lot this year. Like, obviously, you got like the Pukas, and you got like the ones that are come out of the blue. Jordan Love's been a story for, I think, probably a few years now, even though this is the first time we're actually seeing him as a starting quarterback, just because of the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. He was always sort of, I guess, ragdolled in that whole saga between him and the Packers. But if we're talking about Jordan Love, and for me to give a report card for him, I honestly would have to give him an A. I think he's met expectations, and he's exceeded it. I genuinely think that, I mean, like, to come back down 17 points in the fourth quarter against a very good defense. Like, this is a team that, I mean, look, I'm not crazy high on the Saints, but I can't admit that they got a pretty darn good defense. And the fact that he was able to, in his first home start, mind you, and Lambeau Field's like, I get the home field advantage thing, but like, there's pressure, right? Like, that is pressure. Down 17 at home and the fourth quarter to come back all the way and lead your team to victory. Like, I think that alone, even if he didn't have the first good 2 weeks, which he did, like mind you, he still got room to grow. He still had his fair share of miss ups. But again, this is a guy that's making his third career start. So I think an A is the only acceptable grade for Jordan Love here. I want to hear what you have to say. I wouldn't be shocked if you have the exact same grade.
I think I'm going to go even one higher. When you look at Jordan Love, what impresses me the most is he's playing on a team that for years, Aaron Rodgers, the whole narrative was he doesn't have enough weapons. You know, how is he supposed to succeed with these weapons around him? Not only that, Jordan Love has been missing his starting left tackle, his starting guard in Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari, his number one weapon in Christian Watson, and the number one running back in Aaron Jones. Oh. They're 2-1 through 3 weeks. They could very easily be 3-0. He's near the top of the league in passer rating. He's getting the ball out quickly. He's ripping that thing down the field. No fear. He looks like he's been the Packers quarterback for 10 years.
Yeah, he looks like an actual vet.
I'm going A+. I think Jordan Love has been one of the best quarterbacks. Like, when my player rankings come out this week, he's going to be in the top five. Like, he has been phenomenal so far. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you want to talk about exceed expectations? Yeah. Jordan Love is that guy. And whatever, I feel like usually both of us are pretty tough, and we start off with a guy we're both very high on. So it's only right if we stick in the division and lower the bar a little bit. We'll go to Justin Fields now.
Justin Fields, man. Mike, this one, it just hurts me so much, because this is someone that I've been such a truther for. Like, I've been, like, pounding the table for Justin Fields. Even as a prospect, I just love, like, anyone that knows my take, obviously, I was such a big Justin Fields truther. And, I mean, it's almost like I feel like he's just ruined. Like, I feel like he's wrecked. Like, there's no coming back for Justin Fields. And I think that he's probably best fit now, at least the way that his growth has been stunted by the Chicago Bears, as like a backup. And he'll be a pretty good backup. I think that's what he'll end up settling into. But I've sold everything on Justin Fields. And this leads to my report card grade of an F. And if I could go lower, I would, but I couldn't come up with maybe a Z. But I'm gonna give him an F.
So I have an F too, and that's strictly on these 3 weeks. I'm not ready to give up on him yet, because I still feel like he deserves another head coach. I think he deserves another shot somewhere, because he is so talented in a way. Like, he has this, you know, ideal build for a quarterback, this sort of total package with athleticism and stuff. Is he struggling in the pocket? Yes. Is he struggling throwing the ball, yes. And now I feel silly saying that I just defended him. I just think he's too young to just completely give up on him yet. And maybe that backup role somewhere is due down the line. And maybe that's his way back into playing one day, sitting a year and learning. But the situation he's in is just absolutely terrible. The numbers are awful, but I don't know. There's something inside me that just wants to see him with Kyle Shanahan or a Matt LaFleur or a Mike McDaniel, a young offensive mind that is going to instill belief in the quarterback and build a scheme that's going to really build up his strengths. And he doesn't have that in Chicago. Yes, there are definitely concerns and limitations, but something inside of me is still saying he deserves another shot. But despite that, through 3 weeks, I have an F. I guess we'll sort of stick with the bad. We'll go to Zach Wilson and the Jets.
Again, this is... I honestly have no idea how he was drafted number two overall. I have no idea.
It's called a one throw at pro day.
Yeah, but there's no way that was just... It was just that.
But there was never even controversy for number two.
It was a shoo-in. It was an absolute
Wilson, okay, now the draft starts.
Yeah, everyone knew that Wilson was going two. I don't get it because he looks lost. Like they couldn't even move the ball. They couldn't even move the ball. I was puzzled. And I get it. Saleh's got to come out and say, "Oh, he's our quarterback. He's the best chance to win." But everyone knows that's you're full of shit. Like there's no way you could watch Zach Wilson play and be like, "Yeah, that's our quarterback. He gives us the best chance to win." Like, heck, you can go get Carson Wentz to probably do a better job. Genuinely, Carson Wentz is hunting, and that guy throws more picks than I've ever seen. But F again. That's back-to-back Fs.
We call a rapid fire segment. I got nothing else to say. We might as well try to stick to rapid fire. I'm going to go with an F. It's not good.
That's not good.
We'll go to some of the rookies now. Bryce Young, I know he missed week three with an injury. Do you have a grade for him?
I do. It's harsh. It's a D. But I didn't know if we could give the incomplete grade, and I didn't want to. Look, I haven't really liked what I've seen from Bryce Young so far. I get it. The learning curve is a lot for young quarterbacks, but I wasn't crazy high on coming out. So I think that's part of probably the grade that I'm giving him because his counterparts have looked so much better. But I think for now, D, obviously I expect him to be better than what he is now. I hope so because he was drafted first overall, but I'm going to go with D.
I have an I. It is kind of cheating. It is kind of sitting on the fence and not wanting to hand out a harsh grade because in the reality, he hasn't been good. I'm also the one, if you've been listening to this show, I think I say three times an episode how much I think rookie quarterbacks suck in general as a whole collective. And we're going to get into two other rookies too who have been good. But just generally, I think it is probably the hardest thing in professional sports to come in as a rookie quarterback in the NFL after playing college, which is almost like a different sport totally, and go in and succeed. Doesn't help that he is very small and undersized. Couple that with the fact that I don't really believe in the weapons he has around him. I was a little bit higher on this team because of maybe head coach Frank Reich, but I think I underestimated the learning curve that it's going to take for someone like Bryce Young. Definitely not out on him, and I know you're not either, no. But I'm going to go with an I for now. We'll see. Again, injury concerns are a thing as well. He's got to stay healthy. They got to protect him. Hopefully he's back next Sunday. We'll go with another rookie, another one who missed week three, and that's Anthony Richardson with the Colts.
I got a B+ for Anthony Richardson. Again, he's pretty much exceeded my expectations for him. He hasn't excelled to the point like Jordan Love where I'm going to give him an A, but I think he's shown a lot of promise, and I think that he's exactly what the Colts expected him to be in early on in his career, and I think he's got so much room to grow, and I would honestly be willing to say that he could end up being one of the better quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback from this draft class. And I think Anthony Richardson has shown a lot in just his early three sort of games. And I mean, two games, because he didn't even play this week. But I think B+ is pretty strong. I think it's a strong grade. I think you could even kick it up a notch and go A. But I think B+ is fair.
I gave him a B, a little lower, and part of that is me penalizing him for not taking care of himself and being a little too reckless, which I think he's going to have to learn in this league. But what's impressed me most is his success as a passer, because I think we were all very, very worried about that. I thought it was going to be a long process for him to sort of figure it out and calm down an accuracy problem that was deemed as a little bit raw and reckless and a play style that I didn't know if it was going to completely translate. But from day one, he's just sort of taken the bull by the horns and said, like, I can be the guy and I'm going to show this franchise that they were right for drafting me and they're going to be able to build around me for the foreseeable future. So if I'm a Colts fan, like, I am in love with this guy already. I'm going to go a B. It is a little low, but like I said, he's got to learn to protect himself. We got a couple more to rip through. I guess we'll go with one more rookie, C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud, my number one quarterback in the draft this past year, has played perfect. Like, he hasn't turned the ball over yet. He's throwing with confidence. Heck, he has the Texans looking competent. Like, the Texans, I might bet the Texans this week, considering how good C.J. Stroud has played and how good he's looked. I think A+. I think that's the only fair grade, to be honest. I think he's the only young quarterback that has played perfect football through 3 weeks.
He has been very impressive. And obviously, this is all relative to expectation. I watched a little bit of their week one game. Their O-line is all banged up. They're missing three starters. And I was like, this is a disaster. He was running for his life. They were getting so much pressure on him. And I just felt like with a rookie head coach, it's going to be a long season for this guy. How quickly he's been able to just learn and grow within, you know, the span of two games, incredible. He's doing all the great things. Very similar to Jordan Love. He's pushing that ball down the field with absolutely no fear. He's fitting it into tight windows. He seems to understand the concept of what is an open receiver in the NFL, which in my opinion takes rookie quarterbacks sometimes years to learn when a receiver is truly open and when to release that ball. I mean, he has been so, so good. And the Texans are a 1-2 team that you probably feel so good about right now. All right, we've got two guys left. Kenny Pickett of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think Kenny Pickett has been average so far, so I'm going to go with a C. I think there's not much else to say there. Average grade to C. I think he had a solid game yesterday, but I still expect more from Pickett. I think he's been average C.
I have a C too. I think there's been some good. I think there's been a little bit more bad.
Yeah.
I think if he wants to instill this fan base with confidence, he has to be much better and the offense has to be much better. But for the Steelers to be 2-1, you got to feel good about that. That's a C from both of us. Last up, we got Sam Howell of the Washington Commanders. What do you got for him?
I have the exact same grade as Pickett. I think he's been average. I think there's probably a tad more bad than good. I'm going to go with C as well. Again, average. I think he's been average. He had an awful game yesterday, the week before. He played pretty solid, came back in a pretty incredible fashion. First week was average too. I don't know. Yeah, I think he's been pretty average. I think C's a fair grade.
I'm a little kinder on Sam Howell. I have him at a B-. Wow. I kind of throw out the game in Buffalo. It wasn't in Buffalo, against Buffalo. The Bills defense.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of the best defense. Like, how many rookie quarterbacks looked terrible against the Bills? Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett was awful. They got blown out last year against the Bills.
That's fair.
But yeah, week one against the Cardinals, I expected a bit more from him. Week two showed me that he's kind of got that it factor, but we're going to have to see more. So that's a B-. Those are our report cards for some young quarterbacks. We'll move on with our final two segments of the show. We'll start with Did It. Start sits fantasy. Always, always big. The recurring theme on the show is how I'm terrible at fantasy football. I'll tell you a story. This week, I traded Devon Achane the day before his game yesterday. I was sitting in the stadium watching Achane. Like, man, oh man, what am I doing?
See, if you use the Did It app and you FaceTime me and ask for my advice, I would have told you no chance. Do not trade Achane, which you can do because I am available on the Did It app. So download it. Come chat with me. Takes 2 seconds. If you have a couple questions, our DMs do get a little bit hectic. So that's probably the easiest way to reach us, other than spamming my personal account and with some very rude comments that some people have been sending me recently. But download Did It app. Great. It's fantastic for fantasy advice and for all other advice too. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that you can do with that app. But download it and we'll jump right into the start and sits. You start with the start and then I'll do the sit first.
So I just mentioned how I traded Devon Achane and I watched him run all over that Broncos defense. I'm going to go with a team that plays Denver again and a running back who I've really, really liked this year. And if you own him in fantasy, I think he could be a league winner down the stretch. Roschon Johnson of the Chicago Bears. He's slowly, slowly winning over that backfield. Pretty sure Khalil Herbert had a fumble this weekend too. That's going to earn him more touches. He's seen an uptick in usage every single week so far this season. Look for Roschon Johnson to have that breakout game this week against a lowly, lowly Broncos defense. That's the start. Powered by Did It. What do you got?
I got Nico Collins. Oh, and I'm riding the shoulders of a very positive first 3 weeks of my, once again, CJ Stroud team seems to be coming out quite a bit, but he seems like he's his number one target, 22% target share in his first 3 weeks. I know he's coming off a very average week, but I think he should be treated as a wide receiver too going forward. I think if you have Nico Collins in your fantasy lineup, I think he should be startable every single week, just given the role that he plays in that offense and given the ascending young quarterback he has in CJ Stroud. So Nico Collins and Roschon Johnson, get those guys in your lineup. Now, do not get these guys in your lineup. I'm going to start with Kyle Pitts. And I know he,
know where he's playing this week, right?
Who?
London. You know he's playing in London.
Yeah, he's playing the London Jaguars.
You know that his first year in the league, he had 1,000 yards. He had this great rookie season. He only caught one touchdown.
And it was in London.
It was in London. The whole joke was he has not caught a touchdown in the United States. And you're sitting him.
I'm sitting him.
I would sit him too. Ritter is bad. Arthur Smith is lost.
That's who we forgot to put in Ritter in the report cards before. But
he's ungradable, Ritter.
Yeah, he is ungradable. But Kyle Pitts, look, I know a promising game. He had 9 targets. But until he could show me that he has a week in, week out role, I am not going near Kyle Pitts in fantasy.
I like it too. And I hate to say it, though. If you drafted Kyle Pitts, you probably don't have a better option because you probably took him pretty high and said, I'm going to wait on the tight end. Who knows? Maybe you got a Musgrave or a Laporta sitting in there that you took a late flyer on. Get him in your lineup. Bench Kyle Pitts. That's good advice. I'm going to sit Chris Godwin. And this is more so matchup-based. I do sort of believe in fantasy value of Bucs receivers because I like what Baker Mayfield is doing in Tampa Bay. But this Saints defense is just absolutely locked down. If you want to talk about the stat PBUs, pass breakups, the top three leaders all play for the Saints in the NFL. Like, this is no fly zone New Orleans Saints defense right now. They're doing great stuff. They're the only reason this team is 2-1 because the offense hasn't shown much at all. So Chris Godwin, a secondary receiver. Honestly, I might even sit Mike Evans because he's playing against his kryptonite in Marshawn Lattimore.
Ooh.
I'm going to change this to just Bucs receivers in general. If you can avoid playing them, I know Mike Evans is a big name. If you can avoid starting Bucs receivers against the Saints this week, if you have the depth, go ahead and do it. Keep them out of the lineup.
I like it. And like you said, those are our starts and sits powered by our good friends that did it. So go ahead, check the app out, download it. And if you need some fantasy advice, I'm available over there. You can always call me. I'm just a click away. Start sits powered by Did It. And we'll move right in to our best bets of the weekend. And we're very average this week. Very average. We want to talk about report cards. We're grading these guys. They should grade us as betters. And we'd be C. Average. We'd be Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell of the betting space because we're both 3-3 after 3 weeks. So we're looking, one of us is looking to improve here.
I mean, and I was 0-2 after week one. I think, have you been 1-1 every week or week one, you're 2-0?
I don't know. I think I was 0-2 for 1 week and I was 2. I don't know. Regardless, we're average. And this is sponsored by PointsBet. Use code BLITZ when you're signing up. And we'll get right into it. Obviously, fade us because it seems to be a very...
Well, if you fade us, you're 3-3 too. It's a hard thing to gauge.
It's a lose-lose situation if you listen to our bets on this segment. But I think I have the first pick this week.
You do have the first pick. I took the Dolphins last week, first overall, and they absolutely... I could have had them -49.5 and it would have covered. So go ahead.
And that probably would have paid pretty nicely. But my first pick of this week, I'm going to go with the Seahawks, +1.5. Honestly, I looked at this line. I was like, what even is this? Because the Giants are not good. I get the whole home field stuff, but I don't know. I don't really have a reasoning here. Like, I don't have a, like, oh, this is the Seahawks trend against the Giants. I'm just like, okay, the Giants aren't very good, and the Seahawks are pretty good, and they're somehow underdogs. And so I'm going to take the Seahawks. I don't know. Again, pure gut feeling here. It probably doesn't sound too strong. Probably people are like, oh, I'm not tailing this anymore because you didn't sell me on it. I don't think there's anything to sell. I think this is just a crazy line. I'm just going to take the Seahawks.
Could be a trap, but I'm not going to pretend like I think it is because it was number one on my list. If you didn't pick it, I would have been running to the podium and drafting the Seahawks at +1.5. I also have a ton of road underdogs on my list. So that always scares me a little bit because home teams tend to be favored and favored for a good reason or perform well. I'm going to go with London's team. So it is a home game, but it's not really a home game, but it is a home game because they're London's team. They play their back-to-back weeks too, which is insane. The Jacksonville Jaguars -3 against a Falcons team that I want to say I can't figure them out, but I absolutely have figured them out. They are a great defense. They are a terrible, terrible, terrible offense. And the Jaguars are 1-2. They're slowly falling behind in a stacked AFC. They were supposed to be this contender this year. They have not showed that yet. In front of your home fans in London, this is the perfect opportunity to get back in that win column, get back on track. I look for Trevor Lawrence to have a big game, and I look for the Jaguars to win by 3 or more points.
I like that. And my second pick, I don't know. I got a tough year. I got 3 laid down, but I think I'm going to take the Ravens. Taking 2 dogs.
Another one on my list. Another one on my list.
I'm taking 2 dogs this week. I'm taking the Ravens +2.5, which on the road against, I get it's on the road, it's divisional, but the Browns also suck. Really?
You picked
the Browns suck. They're not. I know. I'm wrong about that. I'm selling my Browns stock. The Browns suck. And the Ravens are in the perfect bounce back spot here. They just got, embarrassed against the Colts, which I may or may not have lost a survivor entry to, but it's a perfect bounce back spot. The Browns, not good. Gave $235 million to a quarterback that looks like he's throwing the ball backwards. I don't know if you... Did you see that?
I saw that. That was the funniest
He threw the ball backwards. I've ever seen. You could come to the VTFL and you won't even see that. Our quarterback play is better than what Deshaun Watson is putting week in and week out with the Browns. I'm taking the Ravens here and I'm locking them. I'm going to lock them up. This is a mortgage pick. And when I bring out the mortgage,
I feel like you have a losing record.
No, I don't. We couldn't bring it back. I'm telling you, the mortgage picks play. Ravens +2.5. Lock it in.
I really like the Ravens as well, +2.5. They were the next, again, like you took the Seahawks from me. I was going to pick them first. I was probably would have picked the Ravens if I had the chance too. So I feel like we're kind of on the same page. We'll see if that's a bad thing or a good thing. But to close the show out, I'm going to exercise my demons. I took them a week ago and they absolutely broke my heart. The Minnesota Vikings, you had a chance to win the game. I think I had them at +1.5. They are now -4 in Carolina. So I'm taking another road team. They're -4. Listen, Kirk Cousins, you're 0-3. You're playing some of the best football of your career. This team needs to rally and win for their quarterback. I'm talking a defensive score. Whether it's Andy Dalton or Bryce Young, make it difficult for them. They need to win this game, and they need to win it convincingly to turn their season around. I'm taking the -4. Those are the locks for this week. Once again, powered by our friends over at PointsBet. Use code BLITZ when you are signing up. And there it is. We're both 3-3. We hope to be a combined 4-0 this week and be 5-3 a week from now when we're sitting here. But like we said about these other teams and these other quarterbacks, it is still early. Plenty of time for us both to turn it around. But that's the show today.
And that is the show. It was a good one. And again, if you're listening to it on whatever platform, make sure you're liking, make sure you're following, make sure you're commenting. However you're listening to this, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate the support. We have a ton of fun doing these. And I look forward to it every Monday night. And I know you guys listen to this on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it comes out to you guys. But we appreciate you. And we will see you guys all next time.